Time to hit the movies this weekend. As we mentioned a couple of minutes ago, there is something of a dearth of new films coming out this weekend. Frank Sweetek joining us to talk about at least one of them, and maybe two, and then we're also going to probably have a little conversation about some of the nominees for the Academy Awards. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning.
All right, let's start off with something called Maze Runner, The Death Cure.
They took you because you're immune to a plague that's wiping out the human race. They think you're worth sacrificing to find a cure.
Is this a sequel?
Oh, it's the last part of a trilogy. There was the first Maze Runner,
right.
And then there was Maze Runner, The Scorched Trials, and now there's Maze Runner, The Death Cure. And it was delayed a couple of years because the young actor who stars in it, Dylan O'Brien, had a bad on-set accident and was out of commission for quite a while, and so they postponed production. So unlike most of these franchises, it's been unduly prolonged, shall we say, and some people might actually have forgotten about it. I really like the first two episodes. Well, I sort of like the first two episodes of this young adult kind of thing about a group of teens and early 20-years who were immune from this epidemic that's racking the earth, and they're being used by this company called Wicked to try to find a cure for the disease, which is turning most people into sort of flesh-eating zombies, you know, the Walking Dead kind of thing. And the first two episodes, I thought, were pretty well done. They were silly, of course, but they were quick-moving. They had a lot of incidents, and they kept your attention. This one just drags out. It's a very simple story about trying to rescue one of their number from Wicked, and it goes on and on and on. And is terribly repetitious. It uses the same action devices over and over again. Lots of hairbreadth escapes and things of that sort. I was disappointed by this, and I can't recommend it, but for fans of the franchise who want to see how it ends, or fans of the books on which it's based, I suppose it'll be all right.
All right.
All right. The next one is called Happy End. It's a French film, so there's no clip, so why don't you tell us what you think?
Well, this is a film by an Austrian director named Michael Haneke. His last film was Amour, which you might have seen. It won the Oscar, a beautiful film about the twilight days of a very elderly couple, cultured couple. This movie goes back to his previous movies. It's caustic and looks upon humanity with a very dark, penetrating eye. It's about a family, a bourgeois family in Calais, France, that is filled with intimations of death, filled with intimations of cruelty and actual acts of cruelty, and it spans generations. It goes from the elderly patriarch who has the first signs of dementia and wants to kill himself to a young 13-year-old girl whose mother has tried to commit suicide, and now she has to come to live with her father, who was the first husband of the woman now in the hospital. And both of these extremes at the generational line have deep psychological and emotional problems, but so do all the people in the middle. Haneke has made these films that are really challenging. Some people would say they're cruel films, but what he's trying to do is show the evil of which human beings are possible, what they can actually perpetrate. And this movie, like his others, is very dark but beautifully made. It stars Isabelle Huppert, one of our greatest actresses, who gives a stunning performance, as does octogenarian Jean-Louis Trintignant, who is also in Amour. This is not, I think, Haneke's best film, but nonetheless, it's a very good one, and it's typical of his work. So if you like this sort of dark cinema, this is certainly one you should try to see.
Boy, there's a real downer, and it's ironically called Happy End.
Right.
Is there a happy ending to it?
Well, if you think that escape from this miserable life is a happy end.
Okay, yes. Well, I can see where you're going with that. All right, let's talk about the Oscars now. Of course, leading the pack with the nominations was The Shape of Water. Got 13, and I'm hearing a lot of people saying this should be the picture of the year.
You may think that thing looks human. Stands on two legs, right? But we're created in the Lord's image. You don't think that's what the Lord looks like, do you?
As I recall, you liked this movie very much.
Oh, I like it a lot. It's my favorite film of the year, but I think it's one that will appeal more to film buffs than it will to average audiences. A romance between the creature from the Black Lagoon and a mute maintenance worker is not likely to appeal to many people. But I think this is one of Guillermo del Toro's best films. He always makes, well, he has made in the past, some really magical films like Pan's Labyrinth and The Devil's Backbone. And I think this one is right up there with them. And it's beautifully performed and beautifully crafted. It's a remarkable-looking film. And it might win simply because it is so well-crafted and all the craft unions vote for Best Picture, so they can all see the kinds of contributions they make reflected in it. But there, it has strong competition from Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Minnesota. I think that's the major competition to it. Although there are people out there who love Dunkirk and think that Christopher Nolan can do no wrong. I wasn't as strongly positive about that film as many people were. But I think Call Me By Your Name, which at one point had a leg up, has fallen in the estimation of people. So I think it's going to be either The Shape of Water or Three Billboards.
All right, we're talking with Frank Sweetek from OneGuysOpinion.com. We're talking movies and what he thinks may win when the Oscars are actually announced, the winners. You liked Lady Bird. I know that received a nomination for Best Director.
I want you to be the very best version of yourself that you can be.
What if this is the best version?
Filmmaker's name is Greta Gerwig. She was nominated as Best Director. She also wrote it and produced it and just pretty much did everything. She's a native of Sacramento, as I am, and I loved the film when we saw it because of all the iconic views of my beautiful hometown. Other than that, this is one of those films that you always love, and I go, well, I don't know. There's no story.
You're not really very big on these coming-of-age films, I'm afraid.
No, he didn't like Boyhood either.
It's not that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not that. It's the fact that it didn't, you know, I mean, I love the characters, and I love the acting. And as I said, I love the scenery, but it didn't seem to have a story.
Well, it was a story of a girl trying to find herself and get out of Sacramento. But at the same time, it's a story about her love for Sacramento, Greta Gerwig's love for the city.
Right.
So there are a lot of things going on here, I think, in the film. And it's semi-autobiographical as well. And she was nominated not merely for directing, but for the script. And Laurie Metcalf was nominated for Best Supporting Actress, and she's brilliant in the film. I think overall this is a really first-rate film. I don't think that it's going to win any of the major awards, unfortunately. But nonetheless, it's still out there. And people who are playing catch-up now, you know, I'm going to go see all the movies that are Oscar-nominated, this is one they should really go to.
All right.
Yeah.
Will do. I haven't seen it yet, and I really do want to see it.
I'll tell you something, Frank, that you may not know, and that is coming from a Sacramento native. That the city of Sacramento, people who live there and spend their lives there, have a tremendous inferiority complex. And so that's realistic that comes through in this film, because everybody always says, oh, it's a great place because it's so close to San Francisco and it's close to the mountains and it's close to state line. And going, yeah, it's not just close to everything. It's a great place to be. But it's a city that wishes it was bigger.
Yeah, natives seem to love it. And I think Gerwig's real sincere affection for the city shows through in this film, in spite of the fact that her character wants to go to New York.
All right, Frank Sweetek. You can find his work at OneGuysOpinion.com.